1973. Most of you were, some of you weren't even born, but 1973, I had no really grid on what was going on in life. I was in a spot in which that life was driving me. I was at a place in which that pretty much whenever sin came along and it brought relief, I would say yes to it without even thinking about it, even knowing it wasn't probably a good thing to do. I didn't really like my life. I feel like I kept thinking to myself, how did I get here? I mean, I'm not a terror. I mean, I just, how did it get to a spot that I'm so controlled by any desire I have? And I would even be embarrassed for my life. I would hide my life from numbers of people who I didn't want them to see what I was like. And I felt lots of shame about it. And really what I felt is I felt stuck and I felt really powerless and I was surviving. And that was my life. You know, how you see really affects how you live, and I really was blinded to really what in the world was going on. But the whole time it was really interesting. You know how God uses, I don't know about you, but he uses some really bizarre things to speak to me. He's so creative, like whatever I got to work with, I'll use it for good, I'll figure it out. And one of the things that he did with me, I knew he was actually pursuing me. And so what you do when you are being pursued by God, what you do is you just go to the exorcist, you know. And I thought, that's a good thing to do, you know. I remember everybody, and people say, why'd you go to the exorcist? Because I thought I liked being scared. I really thought that. Me and my buddies, we used to scare each other. It was our game, right? We would literally set up times to jump out of corners and dark alleys to scare the other person, and then we would rate it. The person who was scared would have to rate it, right? So if they went like this, they go, that's just a one. That's just a run. I just shivered. That's all I did. One time, I remember I was on the floor collapsing, and I said, that's a 10. That was amazing. That was a 10, you know. So I loved being scared. So I thought, the exorcist is scary, right? Now, I knew a little bit about it. I knew that it was based on an event that happened here in St. Louis of a child in the 40s being exorcised of a demon and tied to St. Louis University. I knew some of the things about that. I didn't know, but I knew it was. I knew it also was a horror movie. I knew it had been adapted and twisted around, and it wasn't relating. It was had many things that were completely way off base, right? And so I knew all that. And so I was kind of joking as I went in, but when I went in, God used it. He freaked me out. I don't know if God can do that, but he freaked me out. Like I when I left this place, I was disappointed that it was dark outside because I was hoping it was still light. We went in, it was light, it came out, it was dark. I remember thinking, oh no, it's dark outside, I don't like this. I remember walking to the car, and I've told this story before, but my buddy who took me, David, two Davids, and I said, David, let's get in the car. And he goes, yeah. He goes, hey, you want to go get something to eat? And I said, I'm not hungry. And he said, where do you want to go? And I said, church. That's what I said. And that's really all I wanted to do. I didn't know what that meant. I just knew that sounded like a better place than Burger King. So the reality of it is, at that point, the way so strange about that is the way I felt was really interesting. I found myself recognizing this. You know, this wasn't a friend who jumped out in front of you, and then you say, oh, there's no threat here. This is like, even though it's all distorted, I'm not recommending the movie for any spiritual guidance, trust me. But the reality of it is what it was clear was there is an enemy, and I recognized this is true. And I recognized I was on the wrong side. And I recognized, all of a sudden, I realized there has been a force that has been moving me along a direction that I didn't even know existed. And I realized I have been making choices based on things that have been told to me, and I keep saying yes, and look at what's happened, and now I can't get out of it. You know, there's this spot in which, as I thought about that, I thought, wow, I felt vulnerable, I felt humble, I felt unsafe, I felt sobered, I felt helpless. I realized that I was trapped, and I was powerless. That's what I felt like. You know, in Isaiah, it talks about the condition of every human, that we, like sheep, have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way. And I recognize that's what I was. I didn't go in thinking I was a sheep, but when I walked out, I realized I was a shivering sheep, not knowing what was controlling me. And in that spot, you know, Jesus, when he came across the crowd, he saw the crowd. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And Mark adds on after he says this, and so he began to teach them. Right? He saw them and he says, what they need is to be taught. They need truth. Right? And as I look at that, I realize that this is really what happened to me, is in this spot of vulnerability, I recognized this enough to realize that I needed truth. And 7 months later, I finally got to a point of saying, I believe Jesus is the truth. But I didn't understand any paradigm of how I looked at this world and what evil was and Satan was. I just knew there was truth and I needed to go towards it. And I remember thinking, as soon as I got to the point of thinking seriously, I'm going to commit my life to Jesus. Some of you are at this spot right now where you're thinking, I'm going to recommit myself. I'm going to commit my life to Jesus. I can guarantee you, you're having lots of conversations in your head that are trying to talk you out of it. And I'll put it off, or wait, or whatever. It just starts happening. And I remember thinking, for the first time, I started recognizing, maybe this is all a lie, trying to keep me from doing this thing. And I remember how awkward it felt, but I said yes to Jesus, and I said, I want to follow the truth. And it literally transformed my whole paradigm. And so, but the understanding for me was very helpful to understand that this battle, this world, this struggle I'm in was not just me. That I was in a spiritual struggle. And I was making choices, and I was still responsible for those choices, but I began understanding that I had someone trying to influence every choice I made. And that just changed things. Now, when we start talking about Satan, a question often in churches is, oh, some people say, I don't want to give him a lot of attention, you know. And I don't either, right? I mean, we're people that are talking about the goodness of Jesus, the healing of Jesus, the deliverance of Jesus, the identity in Christ in Jesus, the mission of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus. I mean, that's what we're about, right? But we would be really amiss to understand that we don't pay any attention to what the enemy is and what his schemes are. Because if we did, we'd have to be denying truth. We'd have to be denying Scripture. Scripture talks a lot about demonic forces of evil. It communicates lots of information on how we're supposed to live. And so as we look at that, C.S. Lewis puts, you know, you can give the devil too much attention or too little attention, right? And that's really true. In fact, right now, there's a lot of attention. You know, there's a lot of attention on the devil. We have lots. It's a mysterious game we play with the mystics. We kind of play with it as a game. And then we have another side that's so dark and ugly, we just stay away from it. But we get to a spot where we never will just say, could this be part of all of our lives? And how do we deal with it? How do we deal with darkness and evil? And if there is a devil, how do we deal with him? And this series is going to be helping us a lot in that area, you know. We find ourselves in places where we find ourselves realizing, wait a second, could this be that how hard it is to forgive this person who's hurt me is more than just a choice of mine? Maybe it's just my choice, but is there something that's trying to keep me from forgiving? Is there something that's trying to keep me from saying yes to God in this area? When you start understanding this, you start realizing that your struggle really is not against flesh and blood, right? Now, the other thing I'd say is that the Scripture talks so much about it. Like, think about Jesus' own life, who is there to show us the model of how we're to live on earth. And what we see is from the day that he was born, he was in conflict with the enemy. You know, we see Herod coming against him, right? And trying to kill him and having genocide as a result of him to leave. We see this through his whole life. We see him in the spot where after he's brought into his ministry, you know, this is my son who I'm well pleased. He goes in the desert and everything starts getting questioned and all the stuff gets thrown at him by the devil and he has to stand against it and eventually says, leave me. And then we see him all the way through his life, even into the garden, of trying to convince him not to do what, to choose his will, not the Father's. I mean, we see it all the way through and we see him modeled. And then we look in Scripture and we see so much instruction that just shows us how important this is. I remember when I was a new Christian, I read this, I just went, oh, here's this. It says, be alert and sober of mind. Your enemy, the devil, which is kind of this thing out there, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in your faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. In this, I love the instruction in this. First off, it allows you to know the power of the enemy, which should sober you, right? Be alert and be sober, because the enemy is strong, stronger than you think. Sin is not a sugar-based, a little bit of sugar based into the vegetables. Sin is poison. It's stronger than you think. The enemy's power is stronger than you think. So it's a little alarming to know that the spiritual condition is we have an enemy who's actually trying to take us out and prowling around looking for that opportunity. But what stands out to me just as much is, although, yeah, stand firm in your faith. Basically, you just defeat him. That's all you have to do. Just stand firm in your faith. Oh, I can win in this? Yeah. Do I have to be afraid? No. Just be sober, alert, pay attention. And then I love how it ends up, like, because you know the family of believers throughout the world is going through the same kind of suffering. See, right now, some of you have things in your life that you think, man, it's just me. I just must be crazy. This message just keeps beating me up. This word just keeps coming at me. This feeling keeps coming on me. I can't get out of this thing. I'm stuck. It just must be me. No. It's just normal, right? Every believer is in a place where they're in this place of struggle and suffering. And we can say, no, we're all in this together. You know, recently Debbie went through a lot of stuff. I didn't go through much. But Debbie went through a lot of stuff. And because I love her, I went through a lot of stuff. But the reality of it is that in the middle of all her physical stuff that she was going through, that was hard. But, you know, that wasn't the hardest part. The hardest part was the spiritual side of it. The threats and the fears and the thoughts and the messages that started coming that we had to figure out how to hold on to truth, right? Some of you guys are in really hard circumstances, suffering, and you have messages coming. Some of you, you know, just all your life you've had these messages of who you are come to you and just push away truth every time, right? That is not just you. You're not alone. This is normal. But God wants to teach us how we stand against that, right? And so I'm hoping today, and this series will be tremendously encouraging, of understanding what this fight is and how do we go about it? What do we do with that? And then I looked at this other spot when I think about this in 1 Peter, is it talks about this place of the enemy in order, he's speaking there particularly about of forgiving others, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. You know? When I was in 1973, I was unaware of every scheme. I didn't know there, I knew, if you said, David, is there a devil? I'd say, yes, because I was logical. There's tons of evil, it didn't take me long to see that. And I call that evil, and there probably is a source. So I'd say, yeah, there's a devil. But man, when it starts talking about being somebody who's strategically looking around for me and having schemes against me, I think the thing I'd say in that is we have to understand that the right amount of attention is probably to pay attention to that. You know, if to read that the, oh, by the way, you have an enemy that's like a lion, this roar, this kind of prowling around, and you think, I do not want to think about that. That is not a good response. Like, I want to figure out what I do about that, right? And so as we look at this, we don't want to be unaware of his schemes. God wants us to understand the truth about where we're at in this. And I think the way I put that is it's seeing through a correct lens, you know. And when we seek life through the correct lens, we don't kind of block out section. It lights it all up, right? Part of Christianity is we want to see the whole picture. We don't see just parts. God wants to show us more what's not just on the surface, but what's underneath. And so in 1973, my lens had none of this in there at all, right? But these are some verses that if you've been around me, you've heard me say these verses. And I tried to come up with better ones, but these are the better ones, so I had to use them, right? But I use these verses all the time because literally it became the way I started learning to live. These verses became the way I began moving ahead and not getting stuck. It started in 1973 and it's continued on. The battle didn't stop when I said yes to Jesus. The battle continued on. My eyes then were just open to how to live in a place of victory in the middle of that. And the first thing is there's really good things to point out in this, but I didn't understand that I was supposed to be strong in his mighty power. This was so helpful because, coming out of that theater, I was a sheep. I didn't feel really excited about taking this on, right? Oh, it's not about me taking on. It's being connected to my shepherd and where will give me power I did not have. I'm in his power. Huge understanding of that. It's understanding that we actually have the authority of Christ, but we're still his sheep. And then as we look at this, is to understand there truly is, and again, I'm repeating some of this, but there truly is particular strategies. And at the end of Jesus' being tempted by the devil, you know what it says? And he waited till another opportune time. There's always a spot that strategically the enemy's looking and saying, how could I take David out, right? And that's just normal. It's not weird. It's just the way it is. And God wants us to be informed of those things. And the idea in my mind, this idea of flesh and blood, I just thought, my problem is all these jerks around me. They're making my life miserable. And this person's making my life miserable. I just was judging people and cutting myself off from people and caring about very few people, right? Because I didn't understand my struggle wasn't against flesh and blood. So when I felt struggle, I just turned it outwardly to other people. I made judgments on people. And that was just so freeing to understand, I don't have to fight people. This is not my battle. And then they go on to understand that it says that the result of listening and understanding the difference between the lie and the truth has this tremendous benefit. The thief, he's speaking about the shepherd, Jesus being the shepherd. He says, I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Speaking of comparing him as a shepherd and us as his sheep and us hearing his voice, he says, they will come in and go and find pasture. But the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I am a good shepherd. And a good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Understanding that just changes the way you see life. Is understanding that there is a thief, but you have a good shepherd. And if you listen to him, you'll have green pasture. But you have to understand there'll be a thief that's trying to steal that away. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. But God wants you to have life. And the way you have life is you begin living and believing truth. And then the last part is Jesus, Thomas all freaked out when Jesus is leaving, right? He doesn't know what to do. He's afraid. And he says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going or how we will know the way. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. And so these now have become places in which that they're just my life verses, right? I understand that my struggle is not against flesh and blood. I understand that there is my struggle is against principalities and powers that I have no power within myself to do, but God has given me power to withstand and to resist that. I know that God is speaking truth to me all the time, and as I take that truth in, I find life. But I also know there's a force that's constantly giving me things to believe that are lies, and they're destroying my life and stealing from me. Now, as we look at this, it's so different than mental determination. It's understanding your position. It's understanding what God has done and living in that truth. Truth, basic for this first week, God speaks truth. And truth is always amazingly good. Truth has power to free you, to bring satisfaction in your life, to reveal what you need to see. It shows you how to live. It shows you where to go. It reveals the plan of your life. And God is truth, and whatever he speaks is true. Now, that's so simple, I know. But quite honestly, that is enough to know, because what it means is, like, even when I was at that stage where I'm just deciding to follow Jesus, all I knew was basically this: Jesus is the truth and the way. And I don't know much more about anything in the Bible, but I commit myself to that truth. Jesus is the truth. And all of a sudden, I can start seeing, and my paradigm begins switching, and I begin to start experiencing freedom. In John, another verse I use a lot, in John 8, 31 through 32, it says the Jews who had believed, so that's us, Jesus said to them, if you hold to my teachings, then you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you hold to my teachings, then you'll have the revelation of truth, and then you'll find the freedom in that spot. And then we see in Psalms about praying that guide me in your truth and teach me. In Proverbs, we see, I love this, and buy the truth and do not sell it. You know what that means? Take it in and never let go of it. Always hold to it, no matter what. And as we look at that, if we want to understand how we're going to do well in life, I want to start with that broad proposition, more truth. Choosing to submit yourself to more truth and know truth is good and be a seeker and lover of truth. The reason we talk so much about getting into Scripture and welcoming God's truth is because truth transforms us. And so we need to be people who are seeking truth, who are loving truth, and who are submitting themselves to truth, who are saying, God, I want to live according to truth. All right? Now, the thing about that is the starting point. But we have to understand there is something that is directly going against everything God is trying to say to us, right? And this is a struggle that's not against flesh and blood. And Satan, very simple lesson number two, Jesus is truth, Satan is a liar. Anything that Satan says, he always lies, there's no truth in him. If he's speaking, it's not to your benefit. He's trying to steal from you. He's trying to take you to a place. His goal is to pull you away from committing your life to Jesus and fulfilling the purpose that God has for you. In John, it says, he, Satan, is a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Kind of overemphasizing. In other words, anything he says is, and the reason he says that is because it's hard to distinguish and believe that whatever Satan says is a lie, right? And here's why. In Corinthians, it's talking about some people who are acting like they're righteous, who are really unrighteous, and they're masquerading as righteous people. And he says it's like Satan, who masquerades himself as the angel of light. So if you want to know how the lies feel, they don't feel like, you know, you used to have those cartoons like that ugly little devil with a pitchfork. Hey, why don't you do that? You know, sometimes it's that way. It's that blatant. But usually it's very appealing. It feels very logical. You know, every time I condemn myself, it feels so logical, so rational. I have lots of facts that can tell you that I'm not, God doesn't love me. I mean, when I feel like hopeless, it's very logical. Now, it's not when I say it out loud, but in that moment, it's understanding that when I can't forgive that person, it's very logical. When I have to give myself over this thing, it's very logical. Because it feels so real. It feels like my friend. It feels like the right thing to do almost. But it's a lie. And understanding that is really crucial as we go through life. You know, I remember, as a new Christian, when I read that one verse about Satan being a prowling lion waiting for me to devour, I thought for a long time, like, how would that look? Like, do I wake up as a new Christian? And they said, what happened to you? You're all bloody. Oh, Satan devoured me. I didn't know what that meant. Like, how does Satan devour me? I don't know. How does he take bites out of me? I know it's not physical, right? How is he stealing and how is he taking death and how is he biting me? I don't know. And I, as we look at this, here's what you have to understand. The best I would describe this is Satan will take a bite out of you whenever you're convinced that of his lie and you take it. He takes some kind of bite out of you. Like if he wants you, and see the thing is he can't grab you and strangle you. I mean, that's not his territory, but he can lie to you. And so his lies are amazingly convincing, you know, with promises and with threats and all kinds of complexities. with promises of relief and all kinds of things. But the understanding is he's always lying. And when we listen to lies and yield to those things, even though they might have initial short pleasure, it'll take a bite out of us. And what the result of that bite will be, it'll take us further from God and not to God, right? So practically, I want to just kind of talk about a couple things as far as like, how does this look when we trust truth? And how does it look when we reject a lie? How does that look in kind of a practical way? You know, God loves truth. And it's one of the most powerful things you can do to find the life that God has for you. Watchman Nee has a great quote. He says, the devil abhors light and truth because these remove the ground of his working. So here's the bottom line is, how do you stand firm in the mighty strength of Jesus against an enemy like that? As a sheep connected to your shepherd, you do it in a place that, as you do that, you do it with truth. Truth and light, not hiding things, defeats the enemy, takes his ground out, right? That's why when you're at places that you don't know what to do and you come forward and you receive prayer and you open up to somebody or you go to a friend at home group or whatever, and all of a sudden you had this lie just killing you, but then you open it up and all of a sudden the light comes in, the truth comes in, and all of a sudden the lie is removed, all right? So understand, truth is the weapon and humility is the weapon. Understand that Satan will always oppose truth. And this is something we just have to realize, this is just normal, right? It's like I can list this week of how many times I wanted to do the wrong things and it sounded really appealing. And I still get pulled into it, right? It's just part of our life. We have this, but we have to learn to not say yes. We have to learn to say no and reject and say yes to truth. The reason I always say truth is we can't fight the enemy and just try to get him away from us. We have to replace what he's saying to us with what God is saying to us, right? You can't just like fist fight the enemy. You fist fight the enemy by going to light and believing what is true, what God is saying at that moment. And the third part, I'd say this is really the verse I would recommend you kind of just, if you don't have this memorized, I'd memorize this verse. It's a verse that I would think of it a couple times every week. I actually think of this verse. I often think of my struggles not against flesh and blood because I'm a pastor. I love you guys, but sometimes I think you're the enemy. Most of the time I don't. But anybody, I think that anybody. Even my wife. I know it's hard to believe. But yeah. So my struggle is not against flesh and blood. So that's one of them. But then when I get to a spot, I'm realizing I'm actually in this place of a struggle. I'm in a battle here. Now, sometimes how do you know when you're in a battle? It's this spot where all of a sudden you find yourself driven to something. Like you must do it and it feels urgent, or you must have justice, or you must make the stop, or you wake up and you feel hopelessness. It can be lots of different things. The circumstances communicating a message to you, you want to stop. Those are all just some snapshots of what that struggle might feel like. So what do? You resist the devil with the power, with God's power and truth. And here's how you do it. Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. As simple as that is, it's super profound. The first part of it is really important. It's that realizing there's a struggle, recognizing that, and how do you deal with it? The first thing you do is you humble yourself. C.S. Lewis says, through pride, the devil became the devil. Pride leads to every vice. It is the complete anti-state of mind, anti-God state of mind. It is the complete anti-God state of mind, pride is. Pride is a spot, and that's just where all sin and temptation gets birth, is tying to your pride. And so the first way of protection is go humble. Make yourself the sheep you are. Don't try to be in charge. Humble yourself before God, and now submit yourself to him. You don't fight this battle alone. You fight it in the presence and with the power of God. And you believe what he says to you. And he says that you have power over sin. You have power and authority over the enemy. And you can resist, not in your own strength, but in what he's done through Christ. And you can hold and resist and hold to truth, and the enemy will flee. But there is a spot that we resist. There's a place that we put ourselves in that position of humbling ourselves, and that's to God's truth and to who he is. But then we have this choice that we stay in this place of resisting. There's this place in which the resisting, I've had times in which that I just recognize it and boom, it's there. I've had other times that I've stayed in it for quite a long period of time. But what I always know, it will not stay. It will go. And God will show you how to do that. This simple verse of humble yourself, submit yourself then to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you is 100% true. I promise you. It works every time. It looks different every time. But in that process, God begins replacing the lie with the truth. And you begin, out of that process, you find the life that God has for you. And what was going to be stolen from you is no longer stolen from you. So, let me give you the worst team can come up. I'm going to give you a challenge. A memorization. I know many of you may not like memorization, but you should learn to memorize. Memorizing is amazingly good because then you have God's truth right there. And especially when things get cloudy, scripture that is very clear about what is true is really helpful to have it memorized. And memorize these two verses and ask God to show you how they apply throughout your day. Now understand that when we think of the enemy, we often think of these extreme situations. There's a continuum all the way through of our choices that we have to say, God, what is truth here? And what is the lie? And I want to say yes to the truth. I want to reject the lie. All the way from how you interact in your families to how you weren't going to interact at work and how you interact on the highway. I mean, all kinds of things, right? So try to apply it to your work. So our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Recognizing that's the case, and then as you find yourself in a struggle, begin saying, how do I handle this? I humble myself before God. I submit yourself to God. Then you resist the devil and stay there, and he will leave. All right? Would you try that? Would you stand?